to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. I sent a card to Glory Jane today. I simply wrote, I miss you still, because I sent a card to her, I miss you, about a month ago. And of course, obviously it came back. And I was thinking about her today. And, you know, because there was that picture of her and with the wings and whatnot. And she's my girl. You know, I know a little bit something about Susanna in the sense that apparently she does something with basketball, or has. I know nothing about Glory Jane. She's my girl. But anyway, yesterday I did a little study, and it's still kind of incomplete on Isaiah 66. And I think it's become very relevant because I got a letter from our beloved state. You know, I find it fascinating the way they do their, you know, the cover. It's blank, so you have to open it up in order to get the internals, which it's a good justification. Use more paper. But anyway, because this is the court thing and whatnot, and so I've been wondering about, again, there's the struggle in my mind between the 1 Corinthians 6 about not returning to the state and the example of Paul appealing to Caesar. The context is different. It's brother going against brother to the law, because the issue there is, I'm going to get you. I want to use the state for revenge or whatnot. In the case of Paul, its state came after him, and he's trying to protect himself from the deeds of the state. So, yes, my wife initiated this a little over 10 years ago, but now the state has been coming after me, and I needed to protect myself. You know, it's that eating habit thing. So I did this stuff in order to, to protect myself, so I can continue to eat. We went to the court hearing and whatnot, and I've mentioned how it was. Such a fiasco. And the biggest problem is I heard my wife's voice for the first time in years. And did that get to me? Why, yes, it did. But, so, since this came, I have till Monday at midnight to respond. And I was thinking, what do I do? Because obviously, it's just simply give a response. They didn't, you know, I sent an email, made my case. They didn't address it at all. How normal. So, and it's, I can set my case before them, and so can the opposing party, specifically my wife. And, you know, because what I wrote previously, you know, is about the fact that, are my kids alive? And the amount that I calculate is roughly half of what they're claiming the monthly figure to be. So I've been weighing this. And I sought counsel today from my friend Chris. Because I didn't know. And after, you know, gave the arguments, especially the comparison from 1 Corinthians 6 to was it Acts 25, I think it is. It was, go for it. I need to respond. Because the way to respond, I touched on this before, and what I said to Chris is maybe I should be more specific. To elaborate on the fact, my wife and I got married with the understanding we were followers of Christ. And we got married with that understanding, knowing that the Lord defines marriage, not the state. We did do the marriage license stuff and whatnot, got their certificate, but basically, you know, there was a lot of, it's kind of like when we had our first child. We didn't know what to do. We went through the process as the medical community has directed and so forth. By the time we had, especially Julia, Julia was the first child born at home. And that became the deal. Because, boy, was that so much better. And that really was a big deal. And so many other things happened. We did have, well, anyway, I'll go with the details. But, you know, more and more there was a separation from the way it's things are done normally in our culture. But the point is to lay out the fact and to put it on paper, on an email. The idea that my wife and I committed before God first. The state was only cultural. And that was our understanding, that my wife currently and those around her completely reject the Lord's definition of marriage. And why? And they abandon the Lord's command, 1 Corinthians 7:11, for the wife to reconcile with her husband. Just ignore it. The pursuit of reconciliation, you know, I use the Matthew 5:24 so often. Ignore it. And put all those things down because, yes, and then, of course, there is the issue about the mount and whatnot. But put that stuff down so it's public and then share it, including the fact that, you know, various Christian organizations, institutional churches, supported my wife in abandoning the marriage. And then, of course, describe this in some detail and then make it public, including going to those specific organizations, Jim Cross, Rhonda Keynes, Chris Bitterman. Lay it all out there and share it publicly. Their Lord is the state, not Jesus Christ. At least that's the way they're acting. So that is the intent. But what it gets to is what I studied in Isaiah 66. You know, it's... It is more than interesting to me the way this would come about, because it was, we were looking at something else and then I read this passage. So the ESV. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? That's often quoted, I think, a lot. The rest isn't. You know, the idea I think here is, you know, if the earth is my footstool, and you're going to build something on my footstool for me to honor me, I mean, which is in reference to, you know, David had it in his heart to build the temple and so forth, and it was never a command of God, but that's another, I won't go down that path. But anyway, that sets the context, but then it goes on. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. So in other words, everything that exists is his work, not ours. You know, look at the marvelous, well, it was today, what's his name, SpaceX shot up a rocket and it blew up, and I guess somebody said it was like a, you know, $3 billion whoops. But you know you think of it, God created a leaf. You look at a leaf from a tree and it's kind of like, man can't do that. I was kind of like, wow. Wow. That's our creator. Anyway. But this is the one to whom I will look. He was humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. He will look. He keeps his eye on. Not the one that's doing the motions. The one that has humble and contrite spirit. And this is the one I look attentively. The humble and bruised in spirit is the LSV translation. Look at me, Lord. I'm important. Look at all the wonderful things I've did. Look at me, Lord. I'm your creation. I'm a sinner. My only hope is you. My only hope is my creator. And trembles at my word. These words, especially this passage right here, are something to tremble in. He who slaughters an ox is like the one who kills a man. What is that saying? Slaughters an ox. He's going through the sacrifice thing compared to the murderer. He who sacrifices the lamb, like one who breaks a dog's neck. Which, there may be something more to that, but it seems like it's the same, but with the slightly, you know, the ox compared to the lamb. It's kind of the smaller. He who presents a grain offering, like one who offers pig's blood. So it seems like he's going down to what, at least from human perspective, would be a lesser and lesser sacrifice, and calls them all offensive, or analogizes them to being something very offensive. He who makes a memorial offering of frankincense, like one who blesses an idol. You know, and I find that fascinating because so many, especially the more Orthodox, the Roman Catholic or the Eastern Orthodox and things of that nature, where they have all the, you know, they have the incense thing and so forth, and makes a memorial of frankincense, like one who blesses an idol. And of course, if you look at some of the temples that they have, you know, like the Vatican, idols. Anyway, they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations. You know, it's easy to look at, for example, you look at the Vatican, you look at the statues outside that they have, the Asherah pole in the middle of that place. You look at some of the things inside. The opulence is ridiculous. Is it the throne of Peter? I think it's Peter sitting on a throne, and people come and constantly touch his foot, and it's worn over hundreds of years, and so you don't see. I think you see like the toes in one foot, but the other one is completely worn out because people just the little touch, and it's amazing. And then of course there is. If you've seen a picture of the chair that he has, so when he speaks ex cathedra from the chair, that chair is a bit on the opulent side. It's kind of like, wow. Anyway, I will choose harsh treatment for them, and bring their fears upon them. So these people who slaughter an ox, sacrifice a lamb, the frankincense and whatnot, I will choose harsh treatment for them and bring their fears upon them. That's not a bit of encouragement. Not at all. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen. But they did what was evil in my eyes and chose that which I did not delight. So he is clearly talking, the context would be the religious community. You know, the ones who slaughters the ox and so forth, makes the memorial offering. That's not the atheist. This is the religious community. Again, you know, when you look at Paul talking about the those who are religious, it is literally those who fear demagogues. And I would suggest that's what a whole lot of modern Christianity, the religious Christianity, is. A fear of a demigod, not a fear of the Lord. But hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brother, okay, you who tremble at his word. I think he's talking now to the to a different group. When verse 2, but the one whom I will look, he was humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Okay, so now we had up to verse 3 and 4 talking about those that don't. Now, verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, which is consistent with the one, you know, the humble and contrite. Your brothers who hate you and cast you out for my name's sake have said. Now, just right there. Your brothers who hate you and cast you out for my name's sake. When I read that again, I felt, that's me. You know, there's a whole lot of others in the same way. But I see that as me also. Because my brothers who hate me, the ones that I'm seeking reconciliation with, the one that I'm appealing to, the one I'm sharing my understanding of the gospel with them, and they're responding with hate, and cast you out for my name's sake. They're saying, we're following Christ and cast me out. These are really, really intensely scary words. For my name's sake, have said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. That's what they're saying. Oh, we cast him out because we're bringing glory to the Lord. But it is they who shall be put to shame. That is such scary words. You know, I find those words remarkably scary. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12. The issue there is, I'm not seeking revenge. Nor is my focus getting the burning coals on their head. Ha 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 ha. No, it's an act of love. Stop what you're doing. I'm trying to warn you. I am trying to warn you. Look what the Lord says you might be heading for. Why am I supposed to do that? Ezekiel 3 and 33, the skopos, the watchman. Because I'm supposed to tell you. I'm supposed to warn you. If you don't heed the warning, it's on your head, not mine. But I'm called to make the warning. The act of love is not saying, you better follow, otherwise you're toast. The act of love is, please repent and show that you are my brother and let's have mutual love so we can celebrate the grace of God together rather than lament burning coals. That's not my desire. I've thought about it. Well, okay, put it this way. I stated several times, obviously for people at MetaView, they're far away. So email, phone call would be a good start. Covenant Presbyterian is less than a 30-minute drive, I think. If this meant something to them, I suggest get in their car. Obviously, I won't because I don't have one. Get in their car. Show up to my door. Knock on my door. And face to face, pursue reconciliation with me. Is this important? Should this be done soon? Obviously, I will say it again. So if you're offering your gift at the altar there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. So I think the implication would be is if somebody there gets this and says, oh, yes, that's true. I need to reconcile. I'll do it in the next couple weeks. No. Okay, dinner's in an hour. I'm going to be late. I have something to do. I would suggest that's the priority that's being spoken of in Matthew 5. I can only reach out. I can only proclaim. And I think the thing is, I'll try to make use of this. Going to the state not to seek my protection, but to use it as a platform now to proclaim. Just as we see in Acts, as Paul did, because what he proclaimed is right there now part of Scripture. Obviously, I'm not going to be writing any Scripture, but I am going to be quoting probably. And I'm going to set before hopefully a lot of people that someone's been trying to reconcile for over a decade. And, if we go back to the Isaiah passage. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. I tremble at his word. I take him seriously. It's not a suggestion box. It's his commands. Love your neighbor as a command. Again, love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's the authority for that statement. He is the Lord. He commanded me to love my neighbor. I have no other option. Zip, none. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you and cast you out for my name's sake have said, let the Lord be glorified in what we may see, and that we may see your joy. But it is they who shall be put to shame. I'm acting as the watchman right now. Don't go there. Don't be the one put to shame. Please. I don't know how much I can emphasize that. Please. Don't go there. The Lord came and lived a sinless life to reconcile the relationship between him and his elect. The reconciliation takes care of the barrier. And then he then no longer has that barrier, so he has the relationship with us. It's his gift alone. Live as you believe that. Live as if, please, that applies to you. Please. Anyway, I've had some trouble. I apparently have introduced a bug recently because one of my servers keeps going down. And last day or two, it's been kozlowski.org. Oh, bummer. I added some stuff, hopefully, to I found one issue that I don't think was the problem, but for a bunch of reasons I won't go into, I've made some changes so the logging of when it starts and when it stops has improved radically. Because anyway, I won't go into the details. But it's also the mechanics. Also, that's technical. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore. I think you may find when the Lord says, you who tremble at his word, the only person that I'm seeing any evidence that you might know, like your dad, Chris Bitterman, people at MediView that I can vaguely recall, that I've appealed to, doesn't seem like they tremble at the Lord's word. It's a tool they use for their advantage. Do you tremble at his word? Do you fear the Lord? Fear the Lord, the beginning of wisdom? If there's, you know, I'm biased. I look at our kids and yeah, I have a strong bias to our kids. I want to bless them. I love them. That's why I thought about my Glory Jane today, kind of like melted. She's my little girl. She's not a little girl anymore. She's my girl. She spent most of her life now without her dad. Not by her dad's choice, by her mom's choice. Let that sink in. Not by her dad's choice, by her mom's choice. Glory Jane did not have her dad for more than half her life. That doesn't have to continue. In obedience to Christ, I'm pursuing you to reconcile with you because husbands are called to love their wives as the Lord loves his elect. Say with slightly different words to emphasize the fact. And of course, the 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never ends. My lady, I love you. Unambiguously. I love you and you alone. Was it yesterday, day before? I remember when I said, I love Dorothy Jane. And I was just listening to those words. I love Dorothy Jane. That's music to my ears. That's music to my ears. Is it music to yours? My lady, my wife. I love Dorothy Jane, and I want her back.